I used to love camping when I was a kid. My family and I would go all the time, and I especially loved making campfires. The warmth of the fire, the crackling, the family all sitting around singing and roasting hot dogs and marshmallows, it was just so much fun. And the thing with campfires is that you have to keep adding fuel to the fire or it eventually burns out. If you let it go on long enough and let it burn down completely, it becomes a heap of ash that doesn't do anything. But if the fire is burned down to just a few smoldering coals, it may take some effort and some extra kindling to get it going again, but you can breathe life into it and it'll be ablaze. Well, business is like that, I think. And what do you do when your enthusiasm fades and starts to die down? Well, just like the campfire, you can let it burn out and come to nothing. Or you can add some fuel to the fire and get it started again. I'm a fan of the latter choice, and I'm excited for my guest to talk about exactly how we do that in our careers. What do we do when the fire has started to burn out? Let's kick it. It's not so good right now.
Welcome to the Scope of Practice podcast, where we help busy healthcare professionals learn to manage their businesses successfully and master their personal finances. Now, here's your host, Dr. Brent Lacey.
Hey, y'all. Thanks so much for joining me for the Scope of Practice podcast, where you can get the knowledge and resources you need to grow your leadership skills, your business, and your personal finances. Welcome to episode 76. If you haven't already subscribed to the podcast, please be sure to go ahead and hit that subscribe button right now. And also, don't forget to hit the button at the top of the podcast player to turn on the automatic downloads. That way, you'll be able to listen to the episodes anytime, anywhere, even if you don't have great cell service. Before we get into the show, let's talk about this week's sponsor, Deputy. At your practice, what happens when staff call out sick? How much time does it take to find replacements who can fill in? If you need to cancel appointments because you're short-staffed, what does that cost your practice? Well, Deputy is a simple app that's helped more than 250,000 workplaces tackle this problem. Deputy makes it easy to schedule staff in line with patient demand, communicates your schedules with your team, and instantly finds replacements when someone calls out sick. To learn more and to try Deputy for free, that is right, try it for free. Always happy to bring you guys stuff for free. Go to drpodcastnetwork.com/deputy. My guest today is Dr. Ernesto Gutierrez. Dr. E, as he is known, is a physician from Spain, and he is a lifelong entrepreneur. He believes that physician entrepreneurship is the way out of our ill-managed healthcare system, and so his mission is to equip doctors and other healthcare professionals with the skills and strategies they need to succeed as healthcare entrepreneurs. Today, we're going to talk about what to do when the love fades. What do you do when your love for a medical career just isn't as solid as it once was? Does it mean it's time to leave medicine? Does it mean you need to stay and just change what you're doing day to day? Is it time to find a non-medical career? Well, we're going to go through all of that in today's conversation. It is an encouraging and empowering conversation. Even if you're still totally on fire for your career and you're excited to go to work every single day, I still encourage you to listen. I guarantee that some of your colleagues, your partners, and your staff are feeling this burn. And the conversation may give you some tools that you need to help them address that. Dr. E has a big heart for doctors, and I'm excited to share this interview with you. So here is my conversation with Dr. Ernesto Gutierrez. Hey, y'all. I am super excited to welcome my guest today to the Scope of Practice podcast, my friend, Dr. Ernesto Gutierrez. Dr. E, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for the invite. Loving the chance to be here and talking to your audience.
I'm excited. I feel like the show's taken on a bit of an international flavor. We just had on Giovanni Di Napoli. He was he's the head of GI for Medtronic, and he was actually calling us from Italy. He's from San Francisco. He lives in San Fran, but he was calling us from Italy. So I feel like we're starting to take on a little international flavor here, which is kind of fun.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm coming in from Spain right now. So yeah.
That's fabulous. This is great. And the thing that I love about this is, you know, we've been working together on different things for some time now, and just seeing the stuff that you've been writing and talking about and the stuff that we talk about here, you realize, you know, it's all the same. I mean, we're what, 6-7 time zones away. We're on a completely other continent. We have very, very different, you know, cultural backgrounds. And yet, you know, a lot of the stuff that we're dealing with, a lot of the things that physicians are struggling with, it's the same all around the world.
Right, for sure. And at the end of the day, what happens is that business is business. And most of the time, what we're working and what we're helping our clients with is how to run better businesses. So yeah, the principles are pretty much the same and the struggles are pretty much the same because not just in the US do doctors go through medical school and not getting a single training on how to run a business. That happens all over the world.
So I'm curious, we see a lot in the United States, a lot of physicians are either exiting full-time medicine or are talking about exiting full-time medicine or at least going part-time or starting to develop some kind of side hustle with maybe even hopes of turning that into a main hustle. And that's become a tremendously large percentage of the physician workforce. It's upwards of 50% now that have responded that that's something that they are seriously seeking or are already doing. Are you seeing the same kind of thing in Europe?
Not so much over here. And, you know, same thing. I trained in Mexico. A lot of my medical school buddies are still practicing in Mexico. That doesn't happen so much over there. I mean, certainly there is a little bit of that, but it doesn't happen as often as in the US. And I do have my theories because most of my clients are in the US. I do have my theories as to why this is happening. But yeah, it is. I mean, we do have doctors starting side businesses elsewhere. But quitting medicine, clinical medicine in droves as they're doing in the US, not so much.
So what are your theories? I'd be very interested to hear from, you know, I don't want to say an outsider's perspective, but from perhaps an observer's perspective.
I am in a way an outsider from, you know, from clinical practice in the US, although I'm a physician and I've trained in the US as well. Most of my clinical practice has been outside of the US. And one of the things that I do notice, a very big difference that I see, for instance, here in Europe or in Mexico, is that most doctors are still, even partly, independently practicing. They're not full-time employees. They're not dealing and having to fight hospital systems and insurance systems and all these things that really pile up on the fact that really what's happening is that most doctors are becoming highly skilled operators, highly trained operators. And so, of course, that starts weighing in on you when you're not able to run the practice the way you want to run your practice or the way you want to practice medicine and the best way that you feel based on your clinical experience and expertise is the way that you should be dealing with it. And like I said, you know, doctors, for instance, in Mexico, they don't make nearly as much money as the average doctor does in the US when you convert and you do dollars and how much money they actually take home. But they do practice independently. They do call the shots in their practice. And so I think that freedom allows them to find enjoyment and fulfillment a lot more easily and a lot more frequently than what's happening in the US.
Well, and greater than 50% of physicians in the US now are in an employed position now. And that's the first time that that happened where it crossed that 50% threshold was, I think, in 2018, because there's big polls, big surveys done of physicians every year or every other year, depending on which polling data you look at. And in 2018 was the first year that I saw that it crossed over to 52% where, and you know, what I always say on the podcast is, listen, if you're in an employed position, that's fine. I mean, there's nothing particularly wrong with that, but it does come attendant with some challenges and with some, as we've discovered, some pretty significant restrictions. And what I think we learned during the pandemic is that perhaps the financial security that comes along with having a quote unquote steady paycheck like that is perhaps not quite the security we once thought it was. So I think a lot of people are starting to recognize now that the idea of independent practice, the idea of physician ownership is, while perhaps a greater hassle, may actually have some really attractive qualities that are making people reconsider.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because when you're able to set the rules, when you're able to set the way in which you're going to practice, when you're able to decide the kind of patients that you're going to see and how much you're going to charge and how many hours you're going to spend in your office, and you're able to set all these different variables, you're able to build a business that serves you instead of you having to adapt yourself, your lifestyle, your likes, your desires, your goals into some arbitrary, you know, 9-to-5 job, which is what's happening with a lot of doctors. Some of them, they find it that, yeah, it's fine. You know, I get my vacation hours, I get my 9-to-5, I don't have to worry about this or that. But for most of us, that is literally, you know, like the golden handcuffs. Sure, you get a big six-figure salary a year, but now you cannot even take a day off without asking for permission. You need to figure out when you can get vacation and for how long and what are the hours and what are the extra shifts and whether or not you can do, you know, extra hours or whether or not you can spend that extra 20 minutes with a patient. And all of those things start eating at us because we went into medicine because we want to serve our patients. Sure, we want to make money, but there are other ways to make money. We went into medicine because we want to serve our patients. And when we're being told how to serve our patients, how, what we can prescribe, how much time we can spend with them, and have these cookie cutter processes, of course it starts chewing at us until, you know, we decide, you know what, enough's enough.
Yeah. If you look at all the bloggers, the podcasters online in the physician space, there's a lot of people springing up telling folks how you can get out of medicine, how you can find a non-clinical career, you know, how you can get away from the situation that you're in. And I think you and I are on somewhat quixotic campaigns to help doctors stay in medicine. I love what I do. And I think most physicians, if they're being honest, genuinely love the craft of medicine. They love what they do. They just don't love how they do it. They don't love the administration. They don't love the regulations. They don't love the burdensome time restrictions. They don't love all the challenges that come attendant with their electronic medical record system. So the reality of medicine versus the ideal of medicine, those two paths have diverged pretty substantially. And I think a lot of people are reeling from that. And instead of trying to figure out, okay, well, how can I correct those issues and be able to stay in medicine and practice this craft that I spent so long trying to do, how can I get out as quickly as possible and do something else?
Exactly. Which is kind of sad because, you know, we literally invested a lot of money and a lot of years. You know, most of us invested our entire 20s in becoming doctors. And that's really when it dawned on me. When I started seeing people our age, right, I'm about to turn 40, and people who are in their 30s and they finished residency and they've been practicing for a couple of years and they're quitting medicine at that point. And it's simply because they don't find it fulfilling. They don't find it like it is what they dreamed or envisioned the practice of medicine would be. And the funny thing is that when somebody approaches me and says like, yeah, I want to start a side gig or a non-clinical career or all these things, or I want to quit medicine, I say, okay, tell me, what is it about your patients that you absolutely hate? And they stop and they think and they're like, well, I don't really dislike my patients. And I say, okay, so why do you want to leave? Like, well, because I dislike this and this and this and this. And I say, why don't you just change it? And the thing is, a lot of the times we don't have that mindset of what, wait, can I change it? How can I do that? How can I not deal with insurance? How can I not deal with prior auths? How can I, you know, decide what I'm going to prescribe and how much I'm going to make and my hours? Like, well, just go independent, you know, or you start your own business and start. Because a lot of the times that's what's happening. We just feel like this is the system and this is the box that I have to operate out of, and I'm simply not cut out for it. So I might as well just leave. And truth of the matter is, no, you can't just get out of the box and still serve your patients.
There's a great book that I read a long time ago called The Dream Giver. It's by a guy named Bruce Wilkinson. It's an allegorical book where the hero of the book is going on this journey. He's searching for his dream. He's on this hero's journey to find his dream. And on the way, he meets all these different people that help teach him and mentor him and coach him. And then he gets to this destination and he starts, you know, he keeps striving for this dream, keeps looking for this dream. And he keeps worried that, oh, I'm getting derailed by this and this, I'm getting distracted by that. And then he gets to this town and he starts helping people. And he's, you know, he's like, okay, well, my dream can wait a little while. I'll do something. I'll do some stuff here to help these people. These people need this. They need that. And he starts working with them. And then one day he's talking to people and he's saying, listen, I really need to be getting on. I've got a long journey. I'm trying to achieve this dream. And one of the people said, wait, you mean that dream? And they point to the inside wall of the city gates and the name of his dream is written on the inside of that wall. And so what he finds is that by staying and working and helping people and doing the things that he was wanting to do right there and basically blooming where he's planted, his dream has already been achieved. I mean, he was searching for this almost mythical kind of a thing. And then he turns around, and he realizes, oh my goodness, it's been here this whole time. I just didn't notice it.
Exactly. I love it. I'm actually going to look up that book and read it because it's absolutely correct. A lot of the times we are, you know, we're already doing the things that we enjoy and we're letting everything else around it eat at us, right? And completely defeat us. And the problem with that is that it doesn't have to be that way. we can definitely just say, you know what, I'm not having any of this anymore. I'm opening up my own practice. I'm opening up my independent practice. I'm opening up my direct primary care. I'm doing, health coaching, or I'm doing something to serve patients still in that capacity. I've spent, years training and becoming this clinician. I'm not going to throw it away simply because the system that I've been told I need to be put in doesn't fit my ideal of what my life should be like.
So I'd be curious to know, as someone who has spent a long time really coaching other physicians on how they can change their reality in order to be able to stay and practice medicine, in the last few years, what is the trend that you've been seeing? Are you seeing a lot more people that are coming to you saying, hey, listen, I really want to try to stay in. How can I do that? Or do you feel like there's still a sort of a downward slide into the side hustle nation and into getting out of clinical medicine?
Right. So I think it's a lot of that. I think a lot of them, I like to think of them in two. So a lot of the people that I work with, they're maybe, in their 50s and closing in their 60s, and they're thinking of, I love what I've been doing. I've been practicing for 30, 35 years, but it's time to slow down. It's time to do other things. And so we help them build a business that is going to serve them in that regard. So a lot of them go into mentoring younger physicians and helping improve the system. A lot of them go into maybe some higher coaching and consulting, like high level one-on-one work with specific individuals, depending on their specialty, based on what they want to achieve, right? What they want the next couple of years to be for. But the vast majority, let's say, physicians in their late 30s, 40s, early mid 40s that come to us, they start thinking about this side hustle. And truth of the matter, they don't really want the side hustle. They want some extra income, number one, and they want some creative output, some way to say, you know what, I'm not just an operator. I'm not just the guy who follows directions, like, honestly, because it's just like a very highly paid, and I say highly paid in quotes, because not everyone is highly paid, but I'm just a highly paid monkey just following, checkbox medicine. And of course, that is unfulfilling. So really, a lot of the time, what they're looking for is that creative output, right? And actually, Dr. Lara Salyer, in her book, and I think I introduced the two of you, and she's phenomenal. She talks about how she beat burnout by, tapping into her creativity. And she has this phenomenal little independent practice of functional medicine that does all around that, and her patients love her. And she is fulfilled now because she found that output. So that's what I've been finding out. A lot of the times doctors want to supplement their income because they feel like, if I could get an extra $5,000 to $10,000 a month from another activity, I can definitely go part-time in my employment. Maybe I don't necessarily have to work weekends anymore. Maybe I can just cut my hours. Maybe I can just go in 4 days a week. Because the truth of the matter is they dislike it so much that they just want to find a way to get out of it without completely cutting out their income. They're not at a point where they can say, like, oh, screw it, I'm just going to quit and figure out how I'm going to pay the remainder of my student loans and my mortgage and whatnot. They just want to figure out, okay, how can I start finding a little bit of income on this side so that I can start decreasing my workload on this other side that I find so unenjoyable?
So let's start getting practical a little bit. Let's really help some people out, because these are all really important concepts, and we're identifying the problem. But now there's a lot of people that are listening going, okay, Dr. E, Brent, these all sound great. This is me. I'm feeling this. I totally get what you're talking about. Now, how do I break out of that? So what are some of these hurdles that physicians are facing as they're starting to think about exiting clinical medicine? Like, because I feel like most of the time it's going to be at some kind of an inflection point. They feel trapped in their current place, and they need to get out and either seek another job or start their own practice, or they feel like their practice is stagnating and they need to grow it, or they need to scale it, or they're overwhelmed and they're stressed and they feel like, man, I just need more help. I need to bring on a new partner, but they don't know how to do that. And it's just this overwhelming challenge. So what are some of these hurdles that physicians are facing, and how do we start to address some of those things?
Well, one of the very first ones is coming to terms with the fact that you're not enjoying whatever it is that you're doing, right? So one of the first things that and it's funny because I've heard it so often that it almost feels like it is a common belief when a doctor says, like, oh yeah, I remember driving to work this one day and seeing an accident and thinking, well, what if I got into a minor car accident? Not nothing crazy, but just a minor car accident that would give me about a week off. that I wouldn't have to go into work and that I would be able to just take it easy, right? And it's crazy how often I've heard this. And a lot of people go like, yeah, that would be pretty good. So if you're starting to have a little bit of that, recognize that, you know what, it is your body telling you that you cannot continue living this way. Now, if you want to start really getting practical at that point, recognize that whatever you've been doing up until this point has gotten you to this exact same position. So in order to change that, you need to find some external input, some external sources. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a coach. It can definitely be start listening to different podcasts, start reading different books, or start talking to doctors who have done what you're envisioning of doing. What, number one, always think, always realize that it doesn't have to be this way. Try to look out for ways. A lot of the times we tend to drown in a glass of water, and it is because everyone that we see around ourselves is kind of like in the same situation. And so everybody tells you like, well, you just got to put up with it a little bit longer, or you're going to make partner eventually, or you're going to do this. And in reality, what we need to figure out is like, has anybody gotten out of this and practiced medicine on their terms or done this thing that I need to do? And if the answer is yes, then just figure out what they're doing and start walking in that direction. Start opening up yourself to different possibilities. Start walking yourself out of that box. And when you realize that, then it's just a matter of start taking little steps in that direction. Like you said, you don't need to go out there and hire a coach or hire a business consultant or start up a new LLC and sort of just start taking baby steps, right? Start going in that direction. Listen to different podcasts. Go to a conference about something like that. Read a different book. Talk to people and start getting the idea. Start accepting that idea, because when you start accepting and internalizing these ideas, this reality starts becoming real, tangible in your mind. It's no longer this wild, weird dream. Now it's like, oh, wow, yeah, there's other doctors that just go independent. And now look at them. They love it. They go into their office and they see, you know, 7 patients a day, and they're loving it. Their patients love them. They make good money. They don't have to be, you know, on the phone with the pharmacies and the prior auths, and they have to be employing 5 different people just to comply with Medicare requirements. Look at it. Just look for the evidence, and it is out there. And once you start internalizing that, now it's easy to start saying, okay, this is the direction I wish to go. And now you can start taking more actionable steps to get to that one specific goal.
Yeah, one of our early episodes in the podcast, we interviewed a guy named Ken Coleman. He's a career strategist and coach. And he wrote a book called The Proximity Principle, which I highly recommend to folks that are in this kind of situation, because I think it's really valuable, very, very relevant to a lot of people's situation. But one of the things he talks about is that everything you need to make the changes that you want to make or to have the results that you want to have, the power to grab that is already existing within your current network. And so what he talks about is that if you want to be a happy physician doing the work that you love, you need to go spend time around other physicians who are happy doing the work they love. And so if you've got, you know, as physicians, we all know lots of physicians, and we know lots of physicians that are out doing different things. So as a gastroenterologist, I interact on a regular basis with primary care docs, with surgeons, with hospital medicine folks, with oncologists, with urologists, with OBGYNs. I have a host of different people that I interact with. And if you're a primary care doc, you know, you've got even more connections than I do. And so there are people that are already within your network that are doing the kinds of things that you may want to do. Just get close to them, just start talking to them, have some of these conversations and say, hey, listen, I've been thinking that I'm not happy with the way things are going. Are you happy with your life? Do you like what you're doing? You do. Great. What's that like? And how do I get to that? What's true about your situation that's not true yet about my situation? And how do I fix that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we tend to surround ourselves with people that think the same way, or it's actually the other way around. We tend to start thinking like the people that we surround ourselves with. So if you continue surrounding yourself with the same doctors that have this, you know, defeated attitude of, well, it is the way it is, right? And this is what we got, and at least we've got a job, and all those ideas, well, that's what you're going to continue getting, those same results. Now, if you want to start looking into different alternatives, like you very well said, let's find other doctors who are happy doing what they're doing. Let's find other doctors who are seemingly living the life that you would eventually want to live, and figure out what they're doing. And here's the important thing. Once you do that, and once you realize that, okay, this is kind of like the direction in which I want to go, Now you need to have the courage to start taking steps in that direction. Baby steps, if you will, but start taking steps. Don't just let that be an option that you can eventually take, because you'd be surprised how many doctors have consulted with me throughout the years. You know, maybe 3 years ago, they said, oh, I want to start this, and I want to do an online course for this, and I want to start an online business like this. And we start setting up steps and they never do them, right? Because it is hard, because it is difficult. They need to break the mold of what they've been doing. And 2 years later, they contact me and say, you know what, I'm still thinking about this. I haven't been able to for this reason or for that reason. And here's the thing. If you fight for your limitations or for your excuses, you get to keep them. So the longer you keep making up these excuses and justifying them, the longer you're going to live with them.
For folks that are interested in breaking out of that mold, you know, they're not happy with where they are. What do you generally coach people on when they're first coming to you? So you started to identify the problem. You started talking to people. You're asking some questions. So then what action are people taking? Is it starting to come up with a business plan? Is it starting to look for another job? Is it trying to figure out their ways to change things that where they are right now? I mean, I assume it's different for every situation, but what are some of those really practical steps that people take when they're at the point where they're like, okay, I am ready. I know what I want. I just need to start taking some action. How do they do that?
So the second step is what's different for everyone. The first step is defining what they want their life to be like. A lot of the times people know what they don't want. They're like, listen, I just cannot put up with this anymore. I just cannot continue in this environment. I just cannot do this anymore. And you say, okay, what would you like? What kind of job do you want? What kind of hours would you like? What kind of money do you want to make? How many patients do you want to see? How much time off do you need? Do you need flexibility? Do you need specific times off? And a lot of the times what happens, and the really shocking thing is that as I've learned over the last 3 or 4 years that I've been coaching doctors in these different things, is that very few have any idea about this. And you sit down in front of them and say, what would you like? If you had this magic wand that you could literally wave and get the job specifically that you want, not just get rid of the stuff you don't want, but create the job or the day-to-day that you would like to create for yourself, what would that look like? And once we define that, then we can start thinking, okay, then, you know, for you, for what you're trying to envision, this is a good alternative. Maybe a concierge practice, maybe a direct primary care with a membership model that will allow you to serve all your community. Maybe a digital business where you're doing online courses. Maybe a digital business where you're training other doctors in how to do these things or to transform your experience and your expertise. And the problem that we're getting is that a lot of doctors are looking for ways out, and they see these ads on Facebook and somebody comes in with a course on how to create a membership site, and they just sign up for it and they pay $3,000 for it. And the problem is not the course. The problem is that the doctors going through it, they don't really know what they want to create. They just know what they don't want, but they haven't really taken the time to figure out, what do I want? So for you listening right now, even if you're happy with your job, sit down for a minute, just by yourself with your thoughts, pull out a piece of paper and write down, what do you want? And it might sound cheesy. You might feel like it's ridiculous. Just honestly, just humor me for 20 minutes and write down, what would be your ideal day-to-day? What would it look like? How many patients would you see? What hours would you work? For how long? How many weeks of vacation would you take in a year? How much money would you be making? What are the things that you would like to have? And figure out and look at that, grab it, and then look at what you currently have and figure out, okay, I need to, this is the gap in between the two. I need to start closing that gap and start taking steps towards that.
Yeah, and I think it comes down to, once you figure that out, then the path starts to diverge very quickly, because maybe at that point people look and they go, you know what? I actually have a pretty good gig right now. It's just that my boss is terrible. Maybe I need to be working in a different clinic, or maybe I need to be doing a different role, or maybe I need to start participating in leadership myself. And maybe people look at that and they go, you know, I really am not in a good work environment. This is really toxic. I mean, they've got a good 401k, but man, I hate the people that I work with. So I need to find something else.
Or you know what? Maybe they realize that clinical medicine isn't for them. And that's also okay. I don't have a problem with people quitting medicine when they realize that, you know what, this is just not enjoyable. I can't put up with patients and they're whining and they're complaining and they just don't get well and they'll follow directions. You know what? Then maybe clinical medicine isn't for you, but at least you went through the process and you figured it out. And you decided, well, based on what I want, clinical medicine doesn't really fit that box. And the problem is that we're making decisions based on what we don't want. So we're constantly running away from stuff instead of saying, this is what I want. So we're running away from stuff instead of running towards what we really want. So that's, you know, no wonder we're always tired because we're just running away from things.
Yeah, but I think that that concept of figuring everything out first is just so important because over the last 5 or 6 years, I've had friends that made all kinds of changes and it's been kind of interesting to watch and, you know, some for the better, some for the worse. But, you know, I've had friends that went from an academic medicine situation to private practice and they love it. And then I have people that were already in private practice that felt like they just missed all the research stuff, which, you know, if that's you, God bless you, because I'm not doing it. But, you know, they just decided they wanted more and more and more clinical research. And so they, within their private practice, they built a clinical research program. And I've seen people that went from military medicine into direct primary care. And I've seen people that went, you know, from just from private practice to an employed model because they really just were tired of dealing with all the hassles and everything. And there's lots of ways that you can make the switch. The thing that's really great, I think, about what we have now is that the options are nearly endless. I mean, 50 years ago or 100 years ago, it was your basically your only option was go work at a big medical school at a big medical university or go out to your local town, hang up a shingle and start seeing patients. And nowadays there are just so many different ways to do it. But yeah, I think the options are out there. I think you just, like you said, you really just got to start asking some questions, talking to people, find out what your options are. It's kind of like when we were, I mean, I did this. I assume that you did. I know a lot of people that go through med school do this. It's actually, I think in some med schools required now, where you shadow, right? So you go and spend some time working in the actual specialty that you're thinking about doing. Cause if you figure out within 2 weeks of shadowing, you're like, oh, this is not what I need to be doing. That is 2 weeks well spent right there. And so I think just doing that kind of thing for us is very viable option.
Yes. And here's the other thing. One of the things is when we figure out what we want in terms of, for instance, as you were saying right now, of a specialty, right? We also need to look at the non-glamorous part of whatever we're doing. Right. And that's the next big thing that I work with all of our clients on is like, okay, great. So this is the kind of business that you're thinking about. Now recognize that as a business owner, because that's the other important shift that we need to make. We need to stop being the operators, start really thinking as business owners, even if you're employed. And I'm going to talk about why in a second, right? But when you start thinking about a business owner, there are certain tasks and there are certain things about every business and everything that you do that you're not going to like, right? It doesn't matter what you choose to be. And people look at like, oh yeah, well look at Dr. Oz and he's just living the life. I can assure you he's not. There are things that are boring as crap that he's doing every day. Like, you know, proofreading his scripts and like doing a bunch of other things. And, you know, you look at even like musicians and you're like, oh yeah, they're just doing concerts. Like, no, they're waking up and they're performing and they're doing interviews and they're traveling and they're spending time away from their families and from their homes. So there are a lot of things and we need to recognize that because it's very easy to romanticize the idea of, oh, just figure out what you love and you'll never work a day in your life. No, you will work a lot of the time. But the goal is to make that stuff that you find enjoyable be it so enjoyable that justifies everything else, that makes up for everything else that you need to do. And the problem that we're having today in medicine is that the little part that we enjoy, which is dealing with patients, is no longer justified by the 99% of the time that we have to spend doing non-cool things.
With all that said, do you think that going into independent practice is still a worthwhile goal? Is this still something we should campaign for? Or is this something that it's a dying breed, it's a dying model, and we just need to give up and surrender to our corporate overlords?
No, I actually think that it is dying because we're allowing it. And the problem with it dying is what we're currently already seeing. Physicians are being commoditized, right? Salaries are being set, reimbursements are being set to whatever they arbitrarily decide that whatever we're doing is worth, right? And we're getting, it's literally the rice of the mid-levels. And I got nothing against the mid-levels. I have a lot of clients that are like nurse practitioners and physician's assistants and whatnot, but they shouldn't be covering the role of physician. So unless we start getting more physicians who become independent practice owners that are able to become physician entrepreneurs, right, we're not going to be able to fight the system, because the system is just geared towards, you know, like an industrial era model where people come in and you just have a checklist of stuff that you do to them, and that is profitable for the owners, not necessarily good for the patient, not necessarily good for the physician, right? And that's just the way that we're going. And that's literally the direction in which we're heading. So it is a dying breed, but I certainly hope we can turn that around, because that's literally our one way out of maintain, or one way to maintain physicians within the system.
So what do you say to the person then that says, yeah, Dr. E, that sounds great, but I'm not an entrepreneur. I don't know anything about starting a business or anything. What am I supposed to do?
Well, you weren't a physician when you were in high school, right? You got trained. And being an entrepreneur, contrary to what you might hear on social media right now, that you're either born an entrepreneur or not and blah, that crap. It's just a series of skills that you need to learn, you need to hone, and you need to practice, and you need to get better at, right? And in order to do those things, you need to find mentors. You need to find people who've been before you, because it's just going to be so much easier, faster, and efficient to learn from other people's learnings and mistakes. Now, it's important to say, I said mentors. I didn't say go get another $100,000 in student loans to get an MBA. Because that's the dumbest investment that you can do as a physician. And the reason I say that is, unless you want to go into corporate, right, and be like a medical director at pharma, or be like, you know, hospital administrator or something like that, having an MBA degree is useless. It's like when you tell your patients that they need to exercise a little bit and they say like, sure, okay, I'm going to train to become a personal trainer. Like, no, dude, just go hire a personal trainer and have him walk you through the exercises you need to do. Same thing here. Hire somebody who knows how to do these things and who can guide you so that you can learn these skills, you can develop these skills and become the entrepreneur, become entrepreneurial. And it's a lot easier than what most people will make you believe, especially those selling the entrepreneurial courses. You're actually already entrepreneurial. It's just a matter of understanding what are the skills that you need, how to improve them, and how to literally work at them every day.
I love that. I see a lot of parallels in my own journey. I will say that if you had said 3-4 years ago, you know, hey, Brent, you should really think about starting a business. You know, you should really think about starting, you know, I'd say, yeah, I'm not an entrepreneur. It's not my thing. But over time, you know, that's, I started a blog, I started a podcast, started the Scope of Practice business. And it's like you said, it's learnable. And my thought is that if you can get through med school, man, you can get through anything. It's just, it's none of this stuff is that hard. It's just, it's like you said, it's new skills. It's new things that you have to acquire and get good at, but man, you can do it. Everyone listening, you're smarter than the average person by kind of a lot. I mean, a couple of standard deviations above the mean on average. So yeah, you can do this.
And the other part is, let's say you absolutely hate it, right? The business development part of it. Just hire it out. Hire somebody who has gone to that schooling. And it's what Elon Musk said when he was asked about going to Ivy League schools and whatnot. And he said, don't confuse education with schooling, right? You can get educated without necessarily having to go to school. And he says, I don't have an Ivy League degree. The people who work for me do. So when you have that entrepreneurial mindset and you develop this entrepreneurial mindset, which is really, that is the big chunk of the work that I do with our clients, whether it is at our agency and we have like done for you services and whatnot, the big chunk of the work is helping them understand what that entrepreneurial mindset is and helping them step into that new reality. Because when you start thinking who and not how, that's when you're able to really start growing and leveraging. As physicians, we're trained to hone our skills and we become really highly skilled to the point that I get paid the big bucks because I am the one who has that skill. And then we try to grab that same mindset and bring it into business. And that's why doctors end up doing everything, right? And they say, okay, I want to start an online course. So now they personally start researching different platforms and they start learning HTML and how to put it on there and how to just hire it out. Honestly, It's, you know, if it's a $10 an hour task, just hire it out. It's just as simple as that.
Well, I think you've given us a lot to think about, and I hope that people are inspired to start thinking outside the box, and especially to start thinking that, hey, you are in control of your destiny. That if I love the way you said it earlier, that if you keep living up to your excuses, if you keep living for your excuses, that's all you're going to have. And so if you want something different, if you want different results, you've got to do something different. And so I hope this inspires people to start taking a deep introspective look at where they are in their career and where they want to be in their career, and to see if that's mismatched, how can they start getting those to be better aligned? Well, Dr. E, if people want to connect to you, if they want to continue the conversation, want to learn some more from you, get some more of your content, how can people connect to you?
Yeah, for sure. So we actually setting up a landing page for everyone here. It's at PGF. That's the name of my company, Practice Growth Formula. So it's pgf.me/scopeofpractice. And we're going to put there some resources for everyone listening who can just go over there. Of course, there's going to have the links for social media. But the most important thing is I'm going to put there a little quiz that we have for some of our clients to help them figure out whether they're running their business, whether it's personal, whether it's the business that they work at, whether it's been run intentionally, right, in terms of their marketing and whatnot. And we call it the business diagnostic. And it helps them kind of like figure out, okay, these are also the first couple of steps. And for all of our listeners, I'm actually going to throw something in here that I wasn't thinking about. But if somebody's really considering and wants to kind of like bounce some ideas, of course, I cannot do this for a lot of people. But for the first 10 people who come in, and we're going to give them a 30-minute coaching call. The only caveat is that they need to actually go to wherever they listen to podcasts. You're going to find the scope of practice, and you're going to leave a rating, a review, and you're going to take a screenshot of that. And then you're going to send it to the form that you'll see in that page, and I'll send you a link. You can schedule a call. I'll be happy to work out to help you kind of like figure out some of these things. And yeah, completely free. So
awesome. So that's pgf.me/scopeofpractice. And we'll make sure to put that in the show notes as well, so people can connect to that. Well, that is very generous. We thank you very much for that. And guys, trust me, Dr. E has got just tremendous insights. And so if you're not one of the first 10 people sending him an email, I don't know what you're doing. So you definitely need to go listen to him, talk to him, check him out. He's got a lot of great stuff. He's been doing this for a long time, certainly longer than me. And he's really, really got a good head for this kind of stuff. Well, that was Dr. Ernesto Gutierrez joining us all the way from sunny Spain. So be sure to connect with him on social media. Go to that link that we'll have in the show notes and in the podcast description, and make sure you follow him, connect with him, and definitely get some more content from him. He's just got a lot of great stuff. Well, Dr. E, thank you so much. We appreciate you coming on the Scope of Practice podcast today.
I love it. It's always really, really fun having conversations with you. I think we're very aligned, and hopefully everybody listening had a good time and had some good pointers.
So, what do you do when your love for medicine just starts to fade? Well, you pivot and you decide to love it and just go after it. Or you pivot and you start to move towards a non-clinical career. Or you just accept that your misery is going to be present for the rest of your life. Well, personally, I think the last option is the least attractive, but so many physicians opt for that choice. I think we get stuck in a mode of thinking that we just don't have any choices or the system is stacked against us. Well, if you don't like the way the table is set, turn over the table, make a change, do something different, take the unexpected path. You don't have to accept misery forever. And I hope this conversation with Dr. Gutierrez inspires you to make that decision for yourself. If you're looking to make a change and you're worried that maybe the actual transition process is going to be a bit challenging, maybe it's because you're worried you don't have the skills to make a successful career change. Well, if that's the case, you'll want to download this week's free resource. It's a free PDF guide called Medical School Mess to Residency Success. It's a free PDF guide that will help you write a better CV, pick up some interviewing skills that'll blow your interviewers away, start paying off student loans, and get on a serious path to eliminate debt so you have freedom and flexibility to go after the career that you deserve. It's not just for medical students and residents. This guide is for anyone looking to level up their interviewing and CV skills, or pay off debt, or get ready for a career transition. Just click on the link in the podcast description on your phone, and you can download it for free. Thanks so much for joining me on the Scope of Practice podcast today. You can find all those resources in the show notes at www.thescopeofpractice.com/episode76. That's www.thescopeofpractice.com/episode76, or just click the links in the podcast description. Thanks so much for joining me, and I'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Scope of Practice podcast at www.thescopeofpractice.com.
Before we end, here's a quick reminder. If you want to boost efficiency across your practice and make staff scheduling easier, try the Deputy app. You can try this award-winning technology for free by going to drpodcastnetwork.com/deputy. That's drpodcastnetwork.com/deputy.